The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One and streaming on YouTube at youtube.com/TheUnderdog. We have a ton of stuff up there, not just this show, but a ton of other stuff. This is week three now, new music, new intro music for us. We also have a new rap. I guess it's a custom song towards the end of it for the Get Paid podcast, which is pretty fun. We'll play that at the end if you're interested. But yeah, you know, it's the same format as always. But you know, Brad and I are separating out our content a little bit. What I'm doing here on this podcast early in the week is focusing on fantasy football analytics. You know, the computer projections. If you're a daily fantasy player, if you're in your fantasy football championships or playoffs or whatever, I got you covered. Certainly, I have everything from Bovada Sports. Sportsbook. I have all the lines, and then I have all of Brad's picks and Rockobot's picks along with my picks. So I'm just going to share all of those out there. So hey, may as well just dig right into Thursday night football. We have Baltimore, according to Bovada, -10.5 at the Cleveland Browns. Now Baltimore, this is one of their two losses. I was actually, I believe, watching the Cleveland versus Baltimore game with Brad in Miami. And Nick Chubb just was going nuts in that game. So I think that's the way at that point in the season that you tried to attack Baltimore, although I don't think that that would necessarily work this time around. You know, look, Baltimore is first in the league in points. They rank, they score 33.7 points per game. Their defensive points per game given up is fourth at 18.4. That's ridiculous. Cleveland, meanwhile, scores 21 points a game, gives up about 23. They're a net negative. Baltimore is a net positive by the tune of about 15.3 points. This game slants heavily towards Baltimore. Even if somebody out there is like, hey, what about the home game? Baltimore scores 37.3 points on the road and gives up 16.9. So their net actually improves as a road team, believe it or not. Cleveland, meanwhile, they're about even. They're 23 points a game and they give up 23 points a game. So, you know, I got to say, there's probably going to be some points in this game. I don't think that Cleveland is going to reproduce what they did the last time. For me, 10.5 points is a lot to lay down. I think Baltimore will cover. That's my pick. That's Brad's pick. And that's what Rockobot, my computer engine, picks as well. We all like Baltimore in this game. However, as a bettor, I usually don't lay double-digit points, especially against a team that already handled the team in question. I don't know. And then you add to that the division home underdog, usually, you know, like 80% of the time or something ridiculous like that pans out. I'm just going to take this off my board. I think it's safer. Remember, I mean, Cleveland could get dominated. They could be down, you know, by 11 points, or I'm sorry, they could be down by 18 points and then get a touchdown with 2-point conversion and garbage time and cover that spread. It's just too risky for me. But let's talk about fantasy football here. Lamar Jackson is definitely a start. I think he gets 2 to 3 touchdowns. Mark Ingram is definitely a start. I think he gets a touchdown. I don't like Gus Edwards. I don't like Marquise Brown. I don't like any of the receivers aside from Mark Andrews, who I think also gets into the end zone as well. Now, I know one of these other receivers, I would say it's most likely that's Marquise Brown, but I'd probably stay away from everybody else. Now Cleveland, Baker Mayfield, I'm staying away from him this week. I've liked him in recent weeks, not this week. Nick Chubb I like every week. I would love him if it weren't for Kareem Hunt taking all of his touchdowns away, but you know, he averages about 8 yards per carry. It's nuts. He's still, for my money, the best running back in the league. It's just that Cleveland can't figure out, hey, maybe hand the ball to that guy. It's just crazy. Odell Beckham I think is a start. I think Jarvis Landry is a start. I think Jarvis Landry likely gets into the end zone. If there's a second touchdown, I'm assuming that it would go to, based on my projections here, go to Odell Beckham. But I have Jarvis Landry as really the wide receiver to start. Of course, Beckham is graded as a start on his side. And then I don't have anybody else starting for the Cleveland Browns. Next game on the list, according to Bovada, Buffalo is +6.5 at New England. Now, Buffalo, this is an interesting one because Buffalo played the Patriots about as well as they had been played up until the point where they lost. I do like the Buffalo Bills, but Belichick is really good playing against a quarterback the second time. because of Buffalo's defense and because New England needed basically a blocked punt and maybe a turnover to beat this Buffalo Bills team last time they played, because of that, I'm going to take Buffalo to cover at 6.5. But I have a rule in gambling, never bet against Bill Belichick as a head coach. I also don't bet against Tom Brady. You know, New England, I think, wins the game. I have 16-13. I have this as a very low-scoring game, similar to the game that Buffalo played against Pittsburgh on Sunday night. If you look at the point values, Buffalo scores 20. They give up 15.9. That's good enough for second in the league. Well, lo and behold, New England scores 26 and they give up 12.9. Good enough for first in the league defensively. And by the way, in terms of margin, I believe they're second behind the Baltimore Ravens. So that's almost a 14-point average margin per game. So New England, all this talk about offense. Yes, I know the defense is forcing a lot of turnovers and putting their offense, putting a lot of points on board, first of all, but also you know, helping their offense get into successful positions on the field. But I mean, the Patriots have a net positive of like 14 points. That's not something that we can overlook. A lot of people are sleeping on the Patriots. I'm not one of those people. Buffalo, New England, tough game against two very good teams. If New England skates by this one, because Buffalo is lacks, I guess, respect in NFL spheres, not from me, but from the pundits out there, and from bettors too. I don't think New England's going to get a lot of pub for this. And if they lose to Buffalo, which I think would be, you know, a fine enough loss to take in terms of regular season and all that, I think they'll get hammered for it. Buffalo's a very good team. I think New England wins close. I'm going to take Buffalo to cover. But again, I never put my money on it, and I wouldn't suggest you do that either. From a fantasy football perspective, I like, I do not like really anybody. I really generally, unless it's like the Chiefs or the Ravens or somebody like that, I don't start players. Or if like Deshaun Watson with Houston, I don't start players against New England Patriots defense. I don't think anybody is worth starting seriously on Buffalo. I'm just saying, if this is fantasy football week, if you have options, stay away from Buffalo playing against New England's defense in New England. It's madness. For the Patriots, look, I don't really like them either. again, let me read the points given up for, by each defense. Buffalo is averaging 15.9 points given up in the season. New England's averaging 12.9 points. So maybe you want to look at the over-under on that and bet the under. This could be a brutally ugly game. I do have Julian Edelman, assuming he plays, as a start, and then nobody else is... Oh, I apologize. James White is also graded as a start, and nobody else from either one of these two teams this week. If you have options, look, I like guys like John Brown. I like Devin Singletary. I've mentioned, you know, I like Philip Dorsett. I've mentioned these guys in the past. I don't like them in this matchup. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of points and yardage to go around. Next game on the list, we have Carolina, according to Bovada, plus 6.5 at the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis is still technically alive. They're going to be playing for their playoff lives. I think they'll put up a good game. The Carolina Panthers are giving up like 30 points a game the last few weeks. It's crazy. I do think Indianapolis will score, but I think Carolina will be able to score as well. I do not like Kyle Allen this week, maybe in daily fantasy, but not for your fantasy football playoffs. Christian McCaffrey is my number one overall projected running back this week. I think he gets into the end zone probably two times, possibly three. Let's see here. DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, I like this week as well, with DJ Moore actually getting a touchdown reception. And then Greg Olsen, if he's good enough to go this week, he's a fringe start, but I probably stay away. For Indianapolis, Jacoby Brissett is a sit this week. You know, I'm usually 50-50 on him. This week is the bottom 50%, right? The bottom 50%. But I do not have him as a start. That's tongue-in-cheek, everybody who don't understand sarcasm. I understand that 50% is half. I know there are people out there just waiting to comment. Losers. Anyway, let's see here. T.Y. Hilton, yes, is a start. And Zach Pascal, I like as a start as well. Jack Doyle is dead to me. I don't like him. Jack Doyle doesn't rule, as Adam Sandler and Billy Madison would say. Let's see here. Oh, in the game, let's see here. Brad, by the way, in the Buffalo game, was picking Buffalo, and my computers also like Buffalo. Now, I like Carolina. My computers like Carolina to cover this spread. Brad likes Indianapolis, so we don't agree there. Next game on the list, Cincinnati, plus one according to Bovada at Miami. There's no computer consensus for this pick, so Rockobot is out of the equation. I'm leaning Miami. Brad's leading Cincinnati, so what does that say? As far as this podcast goes, just pretend the game doesn't exist when it comes to your wallet. Take them out of parlays. Don't do it. Don't look. Cincinnati's been playing a lot better. That Joe Mixon's been running better. The defense hasn't been as porous as it has been in the past. Miami, meanwhile, offensively is playing a lot better as well. You just don't know what you're going to get in this matchup. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm just staying away. For fantasy circles, I'm staying away from Dalton unless it's daily fantasy. Joe Mixon, actually, I think for the first time in weeks and weeks and weeks, is graded as a start. If AJ Green, by some miracle, ends up playing, he's not going to, but if he plays, I think you could start him. But really, I think Auden Tate's going to have the better of the games there, and I probably stay away even from John Ross this week. I'm sorry, not Auden Tate. He's on the injured reserve. I was talking about Erickson and John Ross there. I think Erickson's going to be better than Ross, but we'll see what happens. Now, for the Miami Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a sit. Laird is a sit. Even Devontae Parker is a sit, surprisingly enough. I really don't like any of the Dolphins. Not Gesicki, not Hearns, not Wilson. So I'm sits on all of the players there. Cincinnati's defense, they really have been playing better. Rocobot's catching that, and that's why the projections are so low for that squad. Next on the list is Detroit versus Denver in a battle of the third-string quarterbacks coming into the season. Detroit is getting 7 points in this matchup. Look, you know, Brad, me, Rockobot, we're all on Detroit on this one just because 7 points seems a lot to lay down. But I think Drew Locke's going to win this game. It's just a matter of by how much, in my opinion. I like Denver's defense. They're playing better. If we look at the points given up, Detroit's ranked 18th in terms of points scored. They score about 21.7 points per game. They give up 26.6 points per game. That's not good. And then you look at, Denver. They score 17.1 points per game. Not good. And they give up 20.3. That's, you know, good enough for 10th. I think Denver's defense is going to win day here. I'm not liking a lot. Detroit, the only starter I would have is Galladay. Maybe you sneak in Amendola in some daily fantasy lineups, so that's about it. For Denver, I think the running backs both will score well, so I like Freeman. I like Philip Lindsay this week. Wide receiver, I like Cortland Sutton, and I stay away from just about everything else for Denver. Be safe. Don't hinge your your fantasy football championship on Deshaun Hamilton or something like that. That's goofy. Next game on the list, we have Houston -3, according to Bovada, at Tampa Bay. Very interesting game because Tampa Bay is now without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, both listed as questionable, but neither one of them are going to play by the end of the season. It just doesn't make any sense. Houston needs this win. They've taken control of the division, but the last thing they want to do is drop a stupid game to Tampa and then have to win. Although I will say they hold the advantage in the tiebreaker with the division format, so they have a pretty good stronghold on that division. So let's see here. Houston doesn't want to lose and then, you know, risk Tennessee, although they play New Orleans this weekend, so that's not good sledding for them either. Let me just talk about points scored here. Houston scores 24 points per game, good enough for 10th in the league, but they're even better when Will Fuller plays. We'll talk about that in a bit. They give up 23.6, not great, 19th. Tampa Bay scores 29.7, which is nice, but they give up 28.4, not so nice. That's 30th in the league. So Deshaun Watson obviously is a start. I'm looking across the board. Carlos Hyde is a maybe. I'm away from Duke Johnson this week, but I love Will Fuller. I love DeAndre Hopkins. Both of them are starts. And I've been saying on this show for a while when I've been talking about Houston, this team is a different team when Will Fuller's in. I went back to find stats just to back that up. They are 7-2 when Will Fuller plays a full game. 7-2. You look at Will Fuller's stats, he's dynamic in those games, although he only has 3 touchdowns and they all came in one game. He really just blows the top off the defenses. He opens things up underneath. Yeah, I know Kenny Stills got some touchdowns. Those are really based on Will Fuller's influence last week, though. So I'm a big believer in both Hopkins and Fuller. I'm staying away from everybody else except for maybe Fells if you're desperate at tight end. For Tampa Bay, I think Winston is worth a start just because this offense. I think Ronald Jones does well enough to warrant a start this week. Now, what's going to happen at wide receiver with those two studs out? I'm going to guess that Perriman is going to draw the number one coverage from Houston, but I do think he's definitely worth a start, Mr. Perriman, and available on a lot of people's waivers out there. And then as for, the second receiver there, maybe Scotty Miller, but I still think that I'll repeat what I said last week. I think O.J. Howard's going to be having more of an impact in this offense. I mean, think about this. O.J. Howard, he's going to be trade bait around draft time. It's good for him to put some good film on tape there for everybody out there. So I think O.J. Howard is going to take a step forward. I think he'll be used as trade bait because they're certainly not using him, and he's kind of wasting away in Tampa Bay. Plus, they have Braid anyway, though I don't know the contract situation. So there you go. In terms of the bet, by the way, Let's see. I like Houston. Brad likes Tampa. No, Brad and I both like Houston, and my Rocco Pot likes Tampa Bay. Although with the injuries at wide receiver, I'm going to just basically null and void that projection because it still thinks Chris Godwin's playing. It hasn't accumulated new data yet for the wide receivers. Next game on the list, we have Jacksonville plus 7.5 at Atlanta. Brad and I agree. Actually, no, we disagree on this game. I like Jacksonville. Brad likes Atlanta. Atlanta has been playing a heck of a lot better. Rockobot likes Jacksonville. Atlanta's doing everything they can to save their head coach's, Coach Quinn's job there, Dirk Cutter. I just don't know why. Atlanta has a lot of talent. I don't know why they sucked so bad to begin the year. It took a bye week for them to get things straight. Since they've been back, they've beaten both San Francisco and New Orleans from after bye week. This is a different team. This is the team that I thought was going to start the year, but you know, you are what your record says you are, as Bill Parcells would say. In terms of fantasy, look, Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew is a kind of a fringe start. Leonard Fournette, I think, has a great game. If DJ Chark can go, I think he has a great game and gets in the end zone. If he doesn't go, I think it's Chris Conley, and then I don't like anybody else. Now, for Atlanta, Matt Ryan is a start for me. Devontae Freeman is a start for me. Julio Jones, assuming he plays, is a start and will get in the end zone. And then I like Russell Gage as well. Now, Austin Hooper has played poorly in two straight games. Will he make it three? I don't know. If he was on my fantasy team and he was my fantasy tight end, I would play him this week, even though he's given me two stinkers in the playoffs so far. I would still play him, so there you go. Next game on the list, we have San Francisco coming off that loss, what I would consider to be a bad loss, no disrespect to Falcons fans. San Francisco minus 6.5 is hosting the LA Rams. Look, I like San Francisco, Brad likes San Francisco, and Rockobot likes San Francisco. I don't think the Rams have a lot to play for anymore. Mathematically, they're still in the playoff hunt, but it's not going to happen for them. You know, Sean McVay, he strays away from the run too much. I've been talking about this all season. What I will say is, at this point, they're going to start to preserve Todd Gurley for future reasons rather than stupidity reasons. So I don't think Todd Gurley has a nice game, and because of that, I think San Francisco covers. I'm probably going to bet San Francisco this week if that line can stay under a touchdown by the time I get to it. Let's see here. The Rams score 23.7 points per game, 13th in the league, give up 21.9 points per game, 15th in the league. San Francisco, meanwhile, 29.9 points per game scored. That's second in the league behind Baltimore. And then they give up 18.4 points per game. That's good enough for fifth. Now, I don't love that Richard Sherman is probably still going to be out of this game, but San Francisco needs it. They handled the LA Rams easily the last time they played, and now they're at home. I like San Francisco. For, let's see, for fantasy purposes, I stay away from everybody except for Cooper Kupp for the LA Rams. That includes running backs, golf, wide receivers. You know, I know Woods is good, but I think Kupp gets into the end zone and that's it. Higbee could be a fringe start for me. For San Francisco this week, I'm actually a sit on Garoppolo. I'm a start on Mostert. I'm a fringe start on Breida. I'm staying away from Coleman. I like Deebo Samuel better than I like Emmanuel Sanders. I think Sanders might be a sit this week. I think Deebo is a fringe start, and I think Kittle is definitely a start and gets into the end zone. Next game on our list, we have New Orleans minus 3, according to Bovada, at Tennessee. Huge game for both teams. New Orleans right now is third in the conference in the NFC. They want to keep winning so that they can try to sneak into one of those top two spots. As for Tennessee, if they lose, they're done. There's nothing they're going to be able to do. I know they might be able to equal the Houston Texans record, but basically if they lose and Houston loses, the defense or the division tiebreaker is so it's so far out in advance for Houston, there's not going to be anything they can do. I think Tennessee needs a Houston loss this week. I haven't looked at the playoff scenarios, but I'm pretty sure Tennessee needs to win out, and they need Houston to lose this week. But we'll see what happens there. It's a bummer because Tennessee kind of had that game in control. That fumble on the goal line returned a long ways another way. That sucks. You know, I've been talking up Tennessee. They just waited too long to go away from Mariota. It is what it is, though. What can you do? You are what your set record says you are. That's the second time in this podcast I've used that phrase. Let's see here. New Orleans, Drew Brees is a start. Alvin Kamara is a start. I'm away from Murray. Mike Thomas, I mean, come on. Of course, he's a start. And then Jared Cook is a start for me this week. Nobody else from New Orleans. For Tennessee, I like Tannehill. He's my favorite, along with Philip Rivers, waiver wire quarterback to pick up and start in your fantasy finals if you need it. Ryan Tannehill's a start. Let's see here. A.J. Brown is a start, but I'm worried about him drawing Lattimore in coverage. You know, I would probably play him at flex anyway, just based on opportunity. He's a beast out there, but so is Lattimore. Nobody else, even Jonnu Smith. I don't have them as a start either. Let's see here. Oh, and then in terms of betting, Brad likes New Orleans. I like New Orleans. Rocobot likes Tennessee. So Rocobot is unanimously liking Tennessee. So, you know, I have different engines going in there. So Brad and I are defying the robot. The robot's doing better than both of us. So there you go. Next game on the list, we have the New York Giants plus 2.5, according to Bovada, at the Washington Redskins. And let me say this. This is a game that the New York Giants should absolutely win. This is the type of game that Washington wins. Basically, you're out of the running for everything. What is the worst possible thing that your franchise can do? Beat up on another 3-9 or whatever. They're, I guess not 3-9. I guess it's probably 3-11 or whatever it is. Washington has no business winning this game. For the sake of the franchise, they shouldn't win this game. They're in the chase for the number two pick in the league, so they're definitely going to win this game by like 50 points. It's going to be crazy. Seriously, this is what, as somebody who has followed this franchise lovingly as a boy, and now annoyingly since Dan Snyder has really ruined that franchise. You know, here's a little anecdote for you. I grew up an avid Washington Redskins and Baltimore Orioles fan, and wouldn't you know it, the Washington Nationals just won the World Series, and the Baltimore Ravens are the number one team in the NFL in my power rankings. I picked the wrong teams in both sports. What can you do? But anyway, Washington, they're going to win this game. Don't ask me why, don't ask me how. They're going to win this game. I'm not going to bet on it. Mark my words, they're going to win this stupid game. It's just what they do. The New York Giants, let's see here, for fantasy purposes, Eli Manning, I like as a waiver pickup and play, assuming he plays. I don't know why the Giants would play Daniel Jones at this point. They should just shut him down. They know what they have. They don't need to see any more on tape, and they don't need to jeopardize him going into next season. Saquon Barkley is a start, although I think they need to start thinking about shutting him down as well. Let's see. Sterling Shepard. Actually, I like all three wide receivers in this matchup. Shepard, Tate, and Slayton. And then if Evan Ingram plays, I like him as well. Although, mark my words, Washington will win the game, even though everybody's projected as a start. Washington, the only player I like is Terry McLaurin at a 15. I think he gets into the end zone. Oh, you know what? I also like Adrian Peterson as well based on volume. I don't know how the numbers, it's going to completely defy the numbers. Washington's going to win this game 30-27. I don't know. Next game on the list, we have Oakland plus 6.5 at, oh, by the way, I should say the New York Giants, Rocobot has unanimously across all models picked New York Giants. Rocobot's wrong. Okay, next game on the list, we have Oakland plus 6.5 at the LA Chargers. Rocobot likes Oakland. Brad likes Oakland. I like the LA Chargers to cover. I think Oakland's going to be deflated. If we saw the best of what this team's going to give in the first about 3.5 quarters of the game last week, their finale in Oakland, I think this team is shot now, and I think that Gruden at this point is moving into, you know, kind of 2020 mentality. I know he's a competitive guy, but he's going to be playing a lot more young guys to see what he has here and there in key spots. So, you know, Oakland, I've been talking well about Oakland. I like what Oakland's building. It was just a year too early for them, but next year when they're back to full strength, after another draft, after another offseason, I think Oakland will be good. I just don't like them this week. Oakland, in terms of fantasy, Derek Carr is a sit. Josh Jacobs, if he plays, I think he's a start, but gosh, I hope they rest Jacobs. I don't like anybody else other than Waller. I think Waller is a start and can get in the end zone. For the Chargers, I love Rivers this week. I like both Gordon and Eckler this week. I think they could both score. I like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry this week. Nobody else for the Chargers. Next game on the list, we have Pittsburgh. Huge hit playoff implications here. Pittsburgh minus 3 at the New York Jets. Bovada has this game closer than I think a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans would care to admit. Rocobot unanimously picked the New York Jets. I picked the New York Jets. Brad picks Pittsburgh. I don't know what Pittsburgh is going to do at quarterback. They should probably go back to Mason Rudolph as a starter, as long as, you know, it wouldn't divide the locker room for any reason. Gosh, Pittsburgh. Look, you know, I said this earlier this week when I was talking about waiver wire and everything. Pittsburgh has a phenomenal defense. And let me look at the numbers here. So Pittsburgh's offense scores 19.2 points per game. That's 25th in the league. Their defense gives up 18.5. That's 7th in the league. Now you look at the Jets. They score 17.6 points per game. That's 28th. And they give up 24.5. So you look at this matchup and you think, easily Pittsburgh's going to pull this off. But I'm telling you, and not only that, but the New York Jets' strength as a defensive unit is to stop the run, and Pittsburgh doesn't care about the run. But I think this is a game that the Jets are going to win. Now, Pittsburgh's defense is very good, but you saw that seventh, you know, they give up 18.5 points per game. That's seventh in the league. Just reeling off some teams. Baltimore gives up less points per game. Buffalo gives up less points per game. New England gives up less points per game. San Francisco gives up less points per game. New Orleans gives up less points per game. Those are Super Bowl contender teams, with the exception of maybe Buffalo. I'm not really convinced that Josh Allen will win a Super Bowl. What I'm saying is Pittsburgh, you could eke into the playoffs. They probably should, in my opinion, make the playoffs over the Tennessee Titans in terms of a wild card there. I don't know, man. It's tough. And then they draw Baltimore next week. So this is really a must-win game, I think, for Pittsburgh. Let's look at the fantasy football stats. Did I give you? Yeah, Brad picked Pittsburgh, and Rocklebot and I picked the New York Jets. I'm not betting my money on that, though. Fantasy point of view, James Conner is a yes. James Washington is a yes. I'm away from everybody else in the Pittsburgh Steelers, even if Juju Smith-Schuster plays. The New York Jets, I don't like anyone. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. We'll see if the blitz can get to one of these quarterbacks. Pittsburgh likes to drop back and throw the pass deep. That's going to play in a young quarterback who's not particularly good getting blitzed all the time. That's going to play into Greg Williams' hands as a defensive coordinator. It's going to be interesting there. Next game on the list, we have Arizona plus 9.5 at the Seattle Seahawks. Arizona, look, you know, offensively, they score 22 points a game. That's pretty good. It's better than last year, right? They give up 28.4. Not good. Seattle scores 26.5. That's good enough for ninth in the league. They give up 24.6. Not great, but they are 11-3. It's interesting to see them. So they're basically a net. This is incredible for their record. What are they? They're 11-3, and they're net positive of about 2 points. That is razor thin. Green Bay, let me look at Green Bay. We'll talk about them in a bit. Green Bay is even a plus 3. That's a really weird stat. I'm just kind of noticing this for the first time since I put these numbers together. That's wild. But hey, Seattle's getting it done. They win games close, but they win games. And I guess when they lose games, there's those very few losses. They must take a pretty decent, not a beating, but a decent thumping for the points per game net to be that close. Let's talk about Arizona's fantasy football. Oh, before that, Brad takes Seattle. I'm taking Arizona. Rocklebot's taking Arizona. 9.5 is a lot to lay down, especially for a team that averages a net of 2 points in victory. I'm not into it. Let's see. Kyler Murray. But to make this clear, Seattle, I do believe, will win the game. Arizona, Kyler Murray, I have as a fringe start. I think Kenyon Drake is a definite start. I'm not overreacting and freaking out to the 4 touchdowns, but I just think he's going to score well against the Seattle team. I like Christian Kirk this week, and I don't like anybody else, including Larry Fitzgerald, for the Arizona Cardinals. For Seattle, I like Russell Wilson this week, definitely. I think he throws for like 3 touchdowns. Chris Carson's a definite start. I like Lockett. I like Metcalf, and I love Jacob Hollister this week. Jacob Hollister, Rocklebot, has projected him as the top scoring tight end. I'm all in on him. I think he gets in the end zone once, maybe even twice this week. Tight ends have abused Arizona all season long, so we'll see what happens. 3 games left here. We have Dallas, according to Bovada, -3 at the Philadelphia Eagles. Another massive game Sunday afternoon for everybody out there. Dallas looked really good last week, looked really poor the 2 weeks prior to that. They score 27 points per game, good enough for 7th in the league. They give up 20.6 points per game, good enough for 12th in the league. Philly, meanwhile, only scoring 23.9 points per game, good enough for 12th. Not bad, but not great. And then they give up 23.4, good enough for 16th. Not awful, but not good either. So two, I think, evenly matched teams. Philadelphia obviously has the injuries at wide receiver. I think Greg Ward took a step forward. I was wanting to see J.J. Arcega-Whiteside take a step forward. Nelson Agholor might be back. He's still on the injury report, so we'll see. I like Greg Ward there more than I like Agholor personally. But let's just start with Dallas for the before I do that, Dallas, let's see. Brad, me, and Rocklebot are all in Philadelphia to cover this week. Sorry, Dallas fans. Let's see here. Dallas, I'm just surprised that Dallas is a road favorite. I guess it's because of the wide receivers, but I digress. Let's see. Dak Prescott's a start. Ezekiel Elliott's a start. I like Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup to start. Randall Cobb is actually a pretty decent, in my opinion, daily fantasy play. I would not risk him as a start in my fantasy football lineup. Jason Witten is a no for me. Now for Philadelphia, Carson Wentz is a no just because there are so many other good quarterbacks this week ahead of him. Miles Sanders is a yes. Nelson Aguilar, Greg Ward, I don't know. I don't think I start either one of those guys. Certainly not Arcega Whiteside after not having an impact last week. What I do like, though, for Philadelphia is a ball control game. I like Zach Ertz and I like Dallas Goedert, both to score touchdowns as well. Going to be an interesting game. Going to be an interesting game for sure. Next game, second to last game, Sunday Night Football. We have Kansas City, according to Bovada, -5.5. At the Chicago Bears. I don't think Chicago's offense, although they're playing better and the defense, the team is just playing better. I don't think they have the firepower to match up against Kansas City's offense. I know Coach Nagy there is very familiar with the personnel and the play calling and all that. I don't care. I think Kansas City's playing their best football the entire season, except for maybe, you know, weeks 1 through 3. They're finally starting to peak again. The defense is playing a lot better. I actually think they're peaking. Again, I don't know that they're quite as good offensively as they were to start the season. However, their defense is loads better than they were to start the season. You know, things are coming together for them at the right time. I'm going to take Kansas City in this. Brad is taking Chicago. Rockobot likes Kansas City. From a fantasy perspective, I actually have Patrick Mahomes graded as a sit. Let me say this. If you're in the fantasy football championship this weekend and you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, and your backup quarterback is anybody other than Lamar Jackson, you start Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to hear an argument. I know Chicago is good. Go with what got you there. You drafted Patrick Mahomes to be a star, and teams have scored on Chicago this season. In fact, let's see here. Kansas City scores 28.1 points per game, gets good enough for fourth, and keep in mind Mahomes missed a few games there. They give up 20.3 points per game, good enough for 11th. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. A net of about 7.8 there. Chicago, meanwhile, scores 18.3 points per game, gives up 18.1 points per game. So Chicago's defense is pretty good in terms of points given up, third in the league. But, you know, their offense, I just don't think their offense can get it done. So I see this as like, you know, an 8 to 10 point type game. 5.5, it's too close for me. I take Kansas City. Once again, Mahomes is a graded as a sit, but I'm overruling that. I officially for this podcast say he's a start. Damian Williams, if he can play, I like him a little bit more than LeSean McCoy, but this stinking running back situation for Kansas City, it's too volatile. You can find better value in the flex position. Tyreek Hill, I think, is a start. Gets in the end zone once to twice. I think Sammy Watkins is a start. I'm going to stay away from the other receivers there, but I would start Travis Kelce. I think he gets into the end zone as well. For Chicago, Trubisky's a sit. David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen, I believe, are both starts this week, and I like Allen Robinson. I'm staying away from Gabriel if he's back. Now, if Gabriel is out, I do like Anthony Miller. If Gabriel's back, I think that dilutes Miller's capability, so I would stay away from him and everybody else for Chicago. Last game, Monday Night Football, huge game, NFC North. The winner of this game could very well win the division. I haven't looked at the secondary tiebreakers. Green Bay took the game from Minnesota earlier the year. I believe they jumped out to a 21-0 lead. It was like the third or fourth week in the season. And then Minnesota came back and scored, if memory serves, about the next 16 points. And the game ended right there. So, you know, Green Bay, I think, is a little bit worse than Minnesota. Brad, being the Green Bay homer that he is, he cannot pick against Green Bay under any circumstance, although I will say for the most part he's been right this season just because they've been having a really nice season. Green Bay, he picks Green Bay to cover. Rockobot and I both like Minnesota. Now here's something interesting. So Green Bay, 23.6 points per game scored, 20.2 points per game given up, but their yards per play stat is very odd. I think they give up a little bit more yards per play than they average. It's nuts. I mean, I don't know if that situation has righted itself in the last week or so, but that stat is just very, very odd. Now, Minnesota, in their own right, they score 27 points per game, good enough for fifth in the league. They only give up 18.5 points per game, good enough for sixth in the league. So I just think Minnesota's playing better football. Now, I'm worried about the Dalvin Cook injury. I'm worried about Alexander Mattison being down. If both of those guys are out, you're looking at Boone basically to start at running back. That means more goes onto Kirk Cousins' shoulders. Thankfully, Adam Thielen is back. We'll see what that means. In terms of fantasy, Aaron Rodgers, is graded as a sit, and I'm actually going to take that grade. I'm not going to overrule him. We saw it last week too. You know, this team is a run first team. I do think Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are both starts. I think Davante Adams is a start, but he needs some help from anybody else in this wide receiver core. That's really the primary reason I don't love Green Bay. They're going to need another weapon at some point to beat good, like a really good team. And I think Minnesota is a really good team. Now Minnesota in their own right, I haven't looked, the news so far is not clear on Dalvin Cook at the time of this recording, so I don't know what his status is, okay? So bear with me here, but I have Kirk Cousins as a sit this week. I think it'll be a lower scoring game, though I did like Dalvin Cook if he plays. Keep in mind, though, that even if he plays, they're going to manage his workload. Is it going to be Madison? Is it going to be Boone? Is it going to be somebody else? We'll see. But I would like Madison and Cook if they're both playing, or a combination of, you know, any two of those guys if one of those guys is out with Boone. Thielen is a yes. Stephon Diggs is a yes. And Kyle Rudolph sneaks in as a yes as well. Usually I say Kyle Rudolph is more of a blocking player when Thielen's in the game, but I think this week Kyle Rudolph will announce himself and introduce himself to the end zone. So there you go. That is a full week of games, all fantasy football analysis all the time. And, you know, I hope everybody out there in the championship, you know, basically wins their matchups. If you want to sign up for the free update, send me an email to functionalsportsaholic@gmail.com. You can always send me an email. I'll give you free fantasy football and daily fantasy football computer projections via RoccoBot. And, yeah, once again, everybody, thanks for supporting us. Thanks for the listeners out there. Thanks for, you know, checking us out. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. YouTube, thanks for watching. Please make sure to like, subscribe, comment. Let me know why Brad is right and why I'm wrong, or vice versa. And yeah, check you out on another episode. Thanks. See you then. You want to get paid? Then get paid. Sean and Brad help you with the games, from the fantasy to the gambling. We the NFL experts help you win. You better tune in for the two hosts. They know everything, from the players to the coaches. So get paid on a Sunday, because the team right here know the game the most. From Chi-Town to the Florida coast, got swag, got butter with the toast. Brad's a washed up model, don't hate on that. Sean writes the fantasy football almanac. So quit that losing, time to win. We talk fantasy or real, whatever you win. You're going to wish this podcast never end. Now get ready for the best show to begin. Let's go.